Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. Most of the world observes Labor Day on May 1st. In the United States, the holiday to honor workers is on the first Monday in September. For this Labor Day, our subject is the past, present, and future of the American labor movement.
We shall not be moved. Just like a tree that stands by water. We shall not be
The main labor coalition in the United States is the AFL-CIO. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations is 50 years old. Its president, John Sweeney, won a fourth term at its convention in July in Chicago. That same week, however, the Teamsters Union announced that it would leave the AFL-CIO. So did the Service Employees International and the United Food and Commercial Workers. The announcements meant the loss of more than 4 million of the 13 million members of the AFL-CIO.
Andrew Stern is president of the Service Employees International Union. He says change was necessary. Mr. Stern says the AFL-CIO cannot appeal to workers today the way another coalition can. His union is one of seven members of the Change to Win coalition. Mr. Stern says the labor movement needs bigger unions to deal with huge international companies. And he says unions have to try harder to organize workers in service jobs. These include low-wage jobs in areas like healthcare, food service, cleaning, childcare, and private security. Such jobs often are held by recent immigrants.
Unions were strongest when jobs in manufacturing drove the American economy. 50 years ago, about one out of three privately employed workers was in a union. Today, it is about one out of 10. Dissidents in the AFL-CIO say it has not done enough to stop the losses. They say the Federation spends too much to try to influence political campaigns. Unions have traditionally supported Democrats, but now Republicans control Congress and the White House. In 1962, President John F. Kennedy, a Democrat, agreed to let federal employees organize. He said they could negotiate collectively, but not go on strike. State governments followed. A few even gave public employees the right to strike. During the 1970s, there were strikes by police, teachers, and others.
These days, not many workers in the United States go on strike. A strike can be very costly for all sides involved. There is not even a guarantee that if one union strikes, others will show support. On August 20th, the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association went on strike against Northwest Airlines. The financially troubled airline wants to cut pay and 2,000 jobs. The mechanics found little sympathy from other unions, and Northwest was able to limit flight delays. The company quickly replaced many of the strikers with other mechanics.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Andrew Stern at the Service Employees Union says he still sees a bright future for the American labor movement. He says most workers who are not supervisors would join a union if they could. Yet some workers say they fear that if they did, their jobs might be outsourced to countries with lower wages. Unions failed to stop the North American Free Trade Agreement or the new Central American Free Trade Agreement. Other workers say they do not need a union because their employers treat them well. In cases like that, unions might be considered victims of their own success.
Then there is the issue of Walmart. Walmart stores sell thousands of things at low prices. Walmart is the largest seller of general goods in the world. It is also the largest private employer, with more than 1.5 million workers. There are no unions at Walmart stores in the United States. The company notes that workers have rejected chances to join. A spokesman says Walmart tries to have as direct a relationship as possible with its employees. The spokesman told the Associated Press, "We try to run our business in a way that causes no real desire to have a union."
An international alliance of about 900 unions discussed Walmart at a meeting in late August. Union Network International held its second World Congress in Chicago. The group is based in Switzerland. It says it will intensify its campaign to change what it calls Walmart's low-wage and anti-union policies in North America. Another target is Walmart's growing international operations. The first stop is South Korea. The group announced plans to send a delegation there this month. The goal is to help launch an organizing campaign among about 3,000 Walmart employees.
Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever! For the union makes us strong!
When the union's inspiration through the world...
The labor union movement in the United States began about 200 years ago. Skilled workers organized into local groups. Some of these groups developed into national organizations, but most did not last. In 1869, the Noble Order of the Knights of Labor was established. The Knights tried to end child labor and the 10-hour workday. Membership grew to 700,000 in the 1880s, but then the Knights lost a strike against a railroad company. By 1900, the union had almost disappeared.
In 1881, a group that later became the American Federation of Labor began in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Samuel Gompers was the first president. Gompers believed that labor should negotiate with employers. He campaigned for better working conditions for women and children. Another important union grew in the early 1900s. The Industrial Workers of the World became known as the Wobblies. They held many demonstrations and violent strikes. By the late 1920s, however, the Wobblies were no longer important. African-American activist Philip Randolph believed that unions provided the best chance for black people to earn money. In 1925, Randolph formed a union for workers in railroad sleeping cars. They became the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters.
In 1935, several unions in the American Federation of Labor created the Committee for Industrial Organization. The purpose was to organize skilled factory workers. But committee leaders also wanted to include unskilled workers. The Federation suspended unions that took part in this kind of organizing. Then, in 1938, the AFL expelled the unions that formed the Committee for Industrial Organization. Those unions formed another group. This time, they called it the Congress of Industrial Organizations.
A number of unions went on strike after World War II ended in 1945. The strikes led to the Taft-Hartley Act. This law placed strong new controls on unions. Labor leaders compared it to slavery. The Taft-Hartley Act led the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations to come together. The AFL-CIO was born in 1955. George Meany became its president. 2 years later, the Senate investigated unions for links to organized crime and other wrongdoing. The AFL-CIO expelled three unions.
One of the heroes of organized labor in the 1960s and 70s was Cesar Chavez. His family came from Mexico. Through nonviolent protests, he campaigned for a better life for farm workers in the United States. He had been one himself. Cesar Chavez helped establish the United Farm Workers of America. And on September 17th, the union will mark the 40th anniversary of the event that led to its creation. The Delano grape strike and boycott involved Mexican-American and Filipino farm workers in California. In 1965, they went on strike against grape growers to protest low pay. Cesar Chavez urged people not to buy grapes. The boycott lasted 5 years. It produced historic labor agreements between growers and the people employed in their fields.
Our Labor Day program was written by Geraldine Watson and produced by Jill Moss. Our studio engineer was Kelvin Fowler. This program can be found online at voaspecialenglish.com. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. Please join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.